Hi everyone, welcome back to Caros Living. We are so glad you're here today, and yeah, I'm super excited for today. We have a very special guest. She is a person I've gotten to know recently, and she's just awesome. She's such a bubbly, creative soul, and I'm super excited to have her here today. So today we have M. Dykes.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm really thrilled to be here.
Good. Good. Well, I was going to say, too, like, your full name's Emily, right?
Yes.
But do a lot of people call you M?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like
I
M suits you.
I like M. Kind of like you like Ave.
I like Ave, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never grew up with a nickname, so if someone called me something other than Emily, I would get so excited.
That's what happens to me too. I'm like, when people start like calling me Ave, I'm like, yes.
Oh, we're in the sweet spot.
That's me too.
Maybe I just grew up feeling like a loser all the time. So if someone like took the time to get creative with my name, I was like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm popular.
Well, I'm so excited you're here today. As we get into it, I kind of want to just start off with like, you just kind of introducing yourself, maybe kind of just telling us about your life right now, what you love. I don't know anything about you, really.
Yeah. Well, my name's Emily, or M, and I love hanging out with my animals. That's mostly what I do. I have two cats and a dog, McCoy, Zazu, the sage, and Antigone. They're very epic animals.
They are.
So I mostly just watch them outside on their leashes, sniffing the air and trying to remember that if I just can stay in the moment like them, I'm going to do okay. They're my soul care and my entertainment. And then I own my own business. So I'm an animator, illustrator, videographer. So yeah, so I try to make some money. Yep. To pay the bills, but mostly I just want to watch my cats sniff the air.
Do your cats like to go outside too?
Yes.
Really?
But I am extremely protective of them because I know what can happen to cats outside.
Yeah.
So they are both leash trained.
Okay.
And it's obnoxious.
Can you walk them too?
They're terrible walkers.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So to walk them, I have to put them in like a backpack.
Okay. Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Do they get along with Tiggy?
Yes. At night, especially, I will find them all cuddling. Oh, it's very, very cute.
Tiggy's her dog. How old's Tiggy?
Tiggy's a year and a half and a tiny terror.
Wow. Yeah. That's fun, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun. How old are you, Em? I forget.
I will be 36 in a couple weeks. Yes.
36.
I'm an old lady.
You don't look 36.
Well, thank you.
Oh
yes.
My gosh.
I got old like real quick. I was like real young and then all of a sudden I was like, oh no, I'm closer to 40 than 30.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. That's crazy. It just happens like that.
It apparently just happens.
Yeah.
You blink and you're middle-aged.
Yeah. And you're married.
Yes.
To JD.
Yes. He's a good man. He was my first boyfriend.
How'd you ask when you met? Like,
yeah.
What's the story there?
So I wanted to be married more than anything in the world my whole life, and nobody wanted to date me. Lots of people wanted to like fake date me where they'd make me think that we were dating, but then all of a sudden they'd like show up with their girlfriend someplace and I would be like, wait, what?
I thought, what?
So it was very confusing. And then I met Johnny when I was 27 and so I started working at a bike shop and he came into the bike shop.
That's where it started.
Yep. I got tired. Like, I felt like boys at church were just kind of the worst.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, at least if I work at a bike shop, someone will be my friend and we can go on a bike ride together. And then
was
I got married out of
date,
it.
A bike ride?
Yes. We rode bikes to a brewery And we talked about spirit animals were hot at the time, and I had just had a really intense dream about a wolf. And so I told him about my wolf dream and the symbolism of that, and then and Harry Potter. So it was a really good date.
That's great. What does JD do?
He's project manager. Okay. Well, he's in strategy. I don't know.
Okay.
He does important stuff.
Okay. And you're like creative and
yes. It works out.
Perfect. Oh my gosh. Well, I want to get into your company. It's called, what is it called again?
Laura Emily Illustration. Laura, it's too long. I need a rename.
Oh, I like it.
It's so long.
Is Laura your middle name?
Okay. No, Laura's my first name. I go by my middle name. Yes. I was born Laura Emily. Okay. My mother's Laura Ellen. Yeah. Yes, it's confusing on tax documents, but otherwise it's really nice.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So tell us, like, when did your own company kind of start?
I would say the beginnings of the company started when I drew a stick figure for the first time. This is so silly. If you look at my art, it looks like stick figures. They're just well-decorated stick figures.
Yeah. No, they're really... Are you talking about the... Like, she has really flared pants.
Yes. I love super bell-bottom pants. It's so good. I'm obsessed. It's
so good.
I drew a stick figure, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've never drawn before. This is the greatest thing of my life. And I had just graduated college, and then I had impulsively moved to New York City and came home and started drawing like a maniac. And I was like, I have to find a way to make this everything. Because it's all I want to do all the time. And I was literally just drawing stick figures with markers. And it just sort of never left. And so I did all the obligatory career jobs. And I worked for, you know, some good nonprofits and traveled the world and did video. Like, I had all the jobs that, like, sound really dreamy. Right. I got to go to, like, 8 different countries around the world to shoot video, which was really cool. I hated traveling. Okay. It was... very, like, I have pretty serious, like, trauma memories from that time. I hated it. And so I was just depressed all the time because I knew all I wanted to do was art all the time. But, like, everybody's like, well, you can't pay your bills doing art.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I'll just keep trying to shove myself into the mold and make it work.
Yeah.
And so eventually I just kept doing it, and my skills started to expand and started being able to do animation, which was filling that need. And I started getting hired by people on the side to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
And eventually, though, the side hustle became so big, I couldn't do both. And it was either I give up on the dream altogether or I go full in. So it took about 10 years to get there. And now I'm full time on my own and I love it.
You went full in?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I get paid. Illustration isn't my main form of work because video will always pay the bills.
Right. That's right.
But I still get paid to illustrate for a lot of people. And that's it so feels cool. Every time I get a check from somebody paying for my art is the coolest thing.
That is really cool. That's awesome.
Yes.
Because in college, did you study anything like art or anything?
No, I did broadcast journalism. I had all the internships. Okay. I was the news anchor and news director, and I did all the things I was supposed to do. I just never felt right on my insides.
Yeah.
So.
And so then you turned to art. And, like, you said it was kind of your side hustle for a while.
Yes.
And then you went all in, turned into a full-in thing.
Yes. After a lot of time.
Yeah. Yes.
And work.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, with your company, you do, I'm trying to remember, you do illustration.
Uh-huh.
You do video.
Yep.
What else is involved in that? Is there, do you do logos?
I do logos, okay. I do one sheets, flyers, advertisements, okay. I shoot video. My favorite thing to do is animate videos, so like a lot of explainer videos. If you have, you know, if something's complicated and we want to make it simple,
that's
animated explainer
cool.
videos are awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really fun.
Would you say a lot of clients like that you have, will they reach out for a video?
Yes, and I like doing that stuff because... That's where the money is too.
Right.
And I do, right. I like what my goal in life is, like, I need to pay my bills and I need to keep shelter, you know, basics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can do the stuff that I really care about that I choose to do, not because somebody is asking me to do it. That's really what motivates me. So I'll do the stuff, you know, because I'm thankful for the paycheck.
Yep.
But everything else is what I do for my own delight.
Right. So you're like, I call it like a, I don't know if it's like your signature, but where you first started with kind of like you were saying your stick figure, but it's not really a stick figure. But it's like, it kind of looks like you because she has like the long hair.
Yes.
Did you mean it through that? Or like, was it?
I don't know.
It just kind of came.
I just sort of liked that she had really long legs.
But yes, I love that.
I'm working on making her more inclusive because I think she's, yeah. I have enough body image issues. Yeah. Like, I don't need to be looking at my own cartoons and being like, oh my gosh, why are my cartoons so flawless? Right. It's like, no. No. Your cartoon's a stick figure, and she's growing into lots of different shapes and colors.
Right.
Because I really want her to be inclusive. Not, you know,
right.
Non-binary even. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want her to have to just be a her all the time. Like, mm-hmm. she could be anything.
Right.
So I'm working on that.
Yeah. And then I wanted to talk about, like, because I remember Mom sent me one of your animations, I think, and it was that like feel everything.
Mm-hmm.
That video,
that was so fun. Oh, I want to make more of those.
Those are so cool. Do you have more of those?
I want to make more. Yeah. That took so long.
Guys.
And it was absolutely the most fun thing to make.
Okay, you should tell us about that video. You should tell the listeners.
Well, so the video is about our feelings and about how our feelings can feel really scary when they're coming on. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a tsunami coming towards us, going to drown us. We're going to never leave those feelings. It's going to be the worst forever. Mm-hmm. And it's never going to lift. And that's how I felt for a long time. So it started when my dad died, and that was very sudden, and I responded to it. So I was, you know, had to do CPR and call 911. And so it was like pretty an intense experience. And I have PTSD from that. And so I started getting panic attacks after that time. And I didn't know what they were. And I would just think that I was just going to die. And it was the worst and it would never end. Mm-hmm. And so the panic would come on and it was just so bleak. And I have been in a lot of therapy and a lot of stuff over the years. And finally, I'm starting to understand that if I don't feel everything, my repressing my feelings creates way worse panic attacks. Mm. And so my goal in life as a human is to notice when the panic is coming and to welcome it. And so often what I'll do when I feel it coming on is I'll just lay down on the ground and look up at the ceiling and just lose it and just cry it out, feel it, be terrified, whatever it is that's coming up.
Feeling.
Mm-hmm. And I find if I lay on the ground and look up at the ceiling, I can't be distracted. So like the ceiling doesn't seem to judge me.
Yeah.
You know, other things, like there's a computer in the corner otherwise, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling things because I need to be cranking out a video right now. Or, oh my gosh, my husband's going to think I'm nuts because I'm on the floor crying again. And you know, so I've been trying. So what I do is I lay down on the floor and I look up at the ceiling and I let the panic come over me. Mm-hmm. And what I'm noticing is that it does go away. And the more often I just allow it to happen, the faster it passes. Mm-hmm. So the time it used to be, there would be times when it would be days long or it would be 3 hours, or it would come in the most inappropriate times. Like we're literally in the parking lot of the zoo and I can't walk into the zoo because I didn't even stay in the car. Like I'm literally, I leave the car and I'm like, oh my gosh, I had to sit down in the grass patch in the parking lot in front of hundreds of people.
Oh, just comes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So, and then I started to discover that I would feel so good afterwards. It was like this beautiful rinsing of gunk from my insides, and I would see colors again. I started noticing that, you know, the sky was a pretty blue, or there was nice flowers outside, and I was like, oh my gosh, the gift of this panic attack or this like overcome by emotions thing is allowing me now to see around me. And so that was the the point of the video. Then it's when she finally chooses to dive into the sadness or the feeling, she discovers wild creatures in the ocean with her.
Oh, yeah. I love that scene. And just how you mentioned too, like, I think in the video you said, like, I felt free or something.
Yes.
It's that feeling of just like, you're like lifted out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be free.
We can honor the stuff that's so ugly. It's so messy. Right. It may even feel hateful and wrong. And, you know, and like growing in the Christian world, sinful, and God doesn't want you to feel things. And I don't know. And then on the outside, it's like, I have room for love again.
Yeah. Wow. That's so powerful. Yeah. And I was just thinking about that too. Like, I think that's like a journey throughout life to like figure out how you can like kind of deal with your things.
Absolutely. With your emotions.
But especially now, I feel like it's just so easy to suppress and for it just build up, you know?
Yes. Well, the world doesn't make space for time to process. Yeah. And it sure as heck doesn't make space for you to not be pleasant.
Right.
Your role is to be pleasant.
Right.
And if you're not that, then you're causing problems. You're a problem.
Yeah.
I am so over that.
Like, how can we make more space for that? With that video, like, what did that process look like making it? Did it just, like, come to you right away? Or was that kind of, like, over time you came up with those ideas for the video?
Well, the image of the tsunami happened one time when I could tell that the panic attack was coming, and I told my husband I didn't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because it feels like a tsunami.
Yeah.
And he was like, can you let it just wash over you and return to the ocean? And I was like, oh, cool. Thanks, babe. and then so I made that. And so what happened was the first draft of the video, he had given me the word picture for it. And so I was drawing the gal, and the first draft, the ocean comes over her, and she gets tossed around and thinks she's going to drown. But then the end of the video was like, she just eventually realizes that the waves come over her and leave. And I sent it to my friend who's very profound, and he was like, we're missing something. Isn't there more to feeling things than just like having something wash over you and leave you all sandy? And, you know, like when a wave washes over, you've got covered in sand and you're kind of grimy and gross. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was his idea. He was like, what if you entered a wonderland when you feel something? And I was like, oh, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
So it was, what was cool is I have the ability to draw the pictures and put the words together and add the emotion, but it's my community who understands and speaks that language.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, like, what collaboration looked like in your process, I guess.
It's everything.
Yeah.
I think because I live in my own head,
right?
I can't just trust my own head. I need people who know me to see it and be like, wait a second. Right. The best thing is when, can I say the BS word?
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite thing is when someone calls my bullshit. They're like, I can tell you're hiding from the deeper meaning here. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Mm. And so I try to always share my art with the people that know me the best, because they're not afraid to be like, nice try, but you're avoiding this whole thing.
I love that. Yeah. People that know you and
They're like, you're not this shallow, Emily. Go deeper. I'm like, okay.
That was also in the video too, like the go deep part. Mm-hmm. I really like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like, how can we go deeper and really like look at ourselves and like what we're feeling and that whole thing. And then you bring up like the sea creatures and like going deep in that. And
yes.
That wonderland of going deep too.
I love that. I wish that I could just be like the hero who could do it all by myself. But it really does take other people challenging me for me to be willing to try something more than what I've done.
Yeah. mm-hmm. new perspectives. And
yes.
For sure.
With a small number of people that we trust. There are certain yes. people, if I were yes. to have sent that video to them.
With certain people, for sure.
Not my audience.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I was also going to ask you, like, when do you experience, like, creative block?
I'm in it right now.
You're in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are your feelings with that? How do you get out of that?
I don't get out of it.
Yeah.
There's like, I feel like there's a balance in the creative space because I have to mm-hmm. be creative for my job every day. So I'm editing a bunch of videos for folks right now. So okay. There's a level of creativity that I have to deliver to get my paycheck. But when it comes to my personal creative stuff, when I'm in a space mm-hmm. where I don't have any ideas, I just try to rest. Because I have a feeling that what I've noticed is when I try to force creativity, it comes out real shitty on people. Yep. And mm-hmm. nobody needs to be shitted on any more than we already are in this yeah. culture. Yeah. So I have been laying a patio in my backyard. Because that's bricks, I literally put a brick down and a brick doesn't need to be like, it doesn't need to say anything. Right. It's just putting a brick into the dirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've been putting a lot of bricks in dirt and I'm hoping that the tide will shift and new stuff will come up. But I've discovered that if I just wait for it, it always returns. Mm-hmm. And usually when it returns with like brilliant clarity. It's like, this is exactly what I'm doing and this is what I need to do. And I'll output for like 3 weeks straight on something and then I'll be done for another month or two. And so that's the rhythm. It's just like spikes of when it's clear and when it's when it comes out clear, then I know that it's right to do. But when it's I'm trying to just shove it.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I really like that, like just sitting and kind of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't feel like that's a common thing when people hit a block. They're like, okay, we gotta, you know, do something new or like try a new method to. And some people like can't wait, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's a pressure, you know, if you have to like post on Instagram every single day to get an Instagram following, then you can't honor craft. Maybe some people can. Maybe some people are better about not. I know for me, I spew a lot of yuck when I am not in a good space of clarity. And so I sort of also that means then that I have to let go of some of my expectations. Like I can't maybe become famous because I can't output enough to like post on Instagram every day and entertain the world.
Yeah.
So it means that my audience is going to be smaller because I literally can't do any more than what I can do. So maybe only 10 people will watch my video. I don't know. It's not for that. Right. I don't know. It's just that weird tension.
I get that. Yeah. Because like I think for me too, like when I started this podcast, I immediately put that pressure on myself. You know, like I need to do it every week, like, cause you just get in that and you want it to be consistent and everything. Yep. And it's just like kind of trying to let that go. And like, whoever listens will listen.
Yep.
And it's meant to be. And I just want to like do it to like get it out there, you know, and just trying to connect with that more than like the pressure side.
Yes.
Cause it can be so easy to like feel so pressured.
Right.
You know, and it's all like from me too.
Yep. I'm curious, you know, as women, so much of how time is structured, you know, the 40-hour work week, and, going to college, making sure that you come out of college with the correct degree that you then, you know, like all of the formulated steps are very male-dominated, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about how I want to build my life and build my business, I could follow that same pattern and just be another machine in the machine.
Right.
Or I could take a different path.
Yeah.
I could say, no, I want to make this different.
Right.
I want to fight the machine. I don't want to fight the machine. That would, it would consume me, but
no,
I don't even want to be in the room with the machine. I'm going to go outside in the field and like dink around out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what is that like? What does that look like to take those steps, you know?
Right. What did it look like for you? Have you found a pace?
No. I think I'm still figuring it out because it's just like, I think just right now in this season and just like with college and everything, I'm feeling very pressured.
Mm-hmm.
Even like I know I want to do art therapy, but it is that pressure. Like, is it really what I want to do? Or am I feeling like it's just so many questions, you know?
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah. And you're on the very start of all of that.
Yes.
It's exhausting. I remember being so tired all the time.
That's what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but yeah, it's like finding that balance too.
What do you feel as you look at maybe doing art therapy and thinking about the podcast? Are you trying to prove something to somebody? Is there like, because for me, like I'm trying to prove something to somebody all the time.
I think it is. Yeah. And I've realized that like, even with Spread the Love, I think it was, there was something behind it that I wanted to prove something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know really what it is. I think I've just always wanted to make, I've always just wanted to make an impact, I think, and just prove that I can.
Yeah.
And it's that, like, pressure.
Yep.
I don't know.
That's weird. So sad because it's such a beautiful desire and also such a toxic thing.
It's so, it's crazy.
Because I want you to make a difference. You are making a difference.
Right.
But maybe making a difference in the way that this expectation wants it to look like. It's just that's the monster.
Right.
It's like the expectation around the thing.
Yeah.
Wanting to change the world is a good thing. But how it has to look or what your role needs to be, that's the monster.
Right. And I feel like, I almost feel like there's more space for those expectations to fill when you're in, like, creative fields.
Interesting.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
Because, I don't know, I was just thinking about that. Like, even, I think of, like, YouTubers. People think it's, like, maybe easy. And it's just, like, you know. And there's something about, too, like, having to be your own, like, kind of boss.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like being your own boss? I didn't ask you that question.
Yes. I don't know.
I guess you have clients.
I'm a little nutty. I mean, I have clients and they have deadlines.
Right.
I am anti-procrastination.
Yeah.
So I'll work myself to the bone on the front end of a project because I'm so afraid of hitting that deadline and not having it ready that I'll lose all my clients and I'll lose my business and everybody will hate me.
Yeah.
And also I'm such a perfectionist. Like, I can't just do it. It has to be the most amazingly new way to do something. So I'm a terrible boss. So I'm like, you have to get this done. You need to do it 3 weeks earlier than the deadline. You need to do it all today. But then the rebellious side of me is like, I'm not going to do any of that. And I'm probably just going to go outside and stare at my cats. So it's like very insane on my head a lot of days.
Okay. Yeah. Does it balance out, do you feel like?
It did not.
And you're, no.
No. I'm working on that now.
You're working on it.
Yes, yeah. I'm working on that now.
It's a working progress.
Because
that's what I was kind of saying, too, about just when you're in creative spaces, I feel like that pressure and then, like, the overthinking, but then also, like, you don't know what to do or you're kind of, like, out of it and you're... creative process is like not there.
Yes, it is.
You know,
it is. And then you can't deliver on the expectations that you want.
Right.
Like for me, being in kind of a dead space creatively, I've had to rely on what I know works. So for example, this video that I'm editing, it's for a big client and they wanted me to be really creative on it. And I honestly just can't deliver that right now. So what I knew I could do is certain ways of animating that always work. I would just do an animation the same way I did in a video for a different client the last time.
Okay.
And I would use the fonts that, you know, because they have their branding standards. So I'd use their branding standards.
Okay.
But I would use the same animation that I've used in the past. And I always just kind of return to the basics. It's like, I can't do more than this, but I have to deliver. So I'm just going to use what I know works and it delivers a great product. And maybe I can't say that's the most creative thing I've ever done in my life, but it delivers a good product. It meets the needs of the client.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can say, what if we try that? And then it gives them space to be creative.
Yeah.
And so what worked on this project is they were like, well, what if you tried it this way? And
that's,
I was like,
cool.
I love it. It's great.
Right.
So then I got to ride some of their creative energy.
Right. And bouncing off that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So it's turned into a really cool project.
Right.
Right. Despite the fact that I couldn't initiate.
Yeah, kind of just, like, meeting where you're at and using, like, their creative energy. Okay, going off that, Em, like, what do you most love about your job right now?
I most love that my yes is my own yes. And when I say yes to something I shouldn't have, it's all on me. It's my ownership. It's my responsibility. It makes me feel freedom. Yeah. And freedom's everything to me. I don't care about much else in life, but if I feel like I have to, I'm like the world's worst employee. If you need me to sit at a desk, I'm going to be horrible.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna cry in the car on the way there, and I'm just not good at it. But if I can just say yes, and it's all on me to own that, and then I get to work out the how, that is a dream. Yes.
Your own yes.
My own yes. If I make a mistake, whatever. I can handle it.
Yeah.
It was mine to make. It took a long time to figure that out. Because I used to not understand why. Like, I would literally go into the car on lunch breaks, and I would give myself a half an hour to cry. And I would just lay in the car and cry. Or nap. Mm-hmm. But mostly both.
Both, yeah.
And it was pretty much every single day.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't working.
Right.
I can't do this. But it took a long time to get there, too.
Yeah. And now you're here.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you had your own company? I forget when you said.
This is like the fourth year.
Okay.
I think this is the fourth year.
Okay. Out of that, like, what? I'm kind of connecting this now to, like, every day.
Okay.
Because Kairos is, like, it's just, like, living in that, like, moment-to-moment thing. And so, what brings you joy in your everyday life to continue, like, pursuing creating, pursuing what you love?
That's a big question.
I know it is.
I love that question.
You can take it however you want.
Well, I do lots of little things every day. And one of them is just, I have to go talk to people I love. So I go to Graceful most every day. Because I just need to run into somebody that I wasn't expecting to run into and have a little conversation.
Yeah.
I love walking there. I love...
I remember you rollerbladed there once.
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing. When I'm in serious resistance right now. Like, okay. I'm not creating. I think I'm, like, just surviving right now.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's the season.
Yep.
One of the things that really helps me get out of it is going to the skate park and rollerblading at the skate park.
You do that?
I love it. Gosh. I'm, like, covered in scars because
look at them. Oh, my God.
Like, it's a violent place.
Oh, my gosh.
But wow. I love it because when I'm at the skate park and I'm standing on the top of a bowl and I'm about to dive down, I cannot be in tomorrow and I cannot be in yesterday. I have to be in my physical body because otherwise I'm going to die.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So I love it. That's when I'm healthy, I'm at the skate park every day.
Does JD go with you or no?
No. And so now I'm like the creepy old lady pervert who goes to the skate park. Like, I've got my buddies there.
Oh, my God.
They're all like 12 years old. And I love them. Oh, they're so nice. We're best buds.
I've heard some like mean kids are there sometimes.
Yes, I had a mom on a couple of them every once in a while. But like... Being 36 means that they can't really do much to intimidate me. And after working at a homeless shelter for the last 8 years, I'm like, I dare you to scare me. Like, unless you're pulling a knife, I'm like, even then I'm probably going to be fine.
Wow.
So I don't have to mom there very often, but it has happened a couple of times.
It's happened a few.
Yeah.
I love that you do that. Wow.
It's so good.
Do you go like every week?
When I'm healthy, yes. I go, I'll go every day when I'm healthy.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But
just roll up.
So I challenge myself. I had a friend who called and she's got like 3 12-year-old kids.
Okay.
She was like, you want to meet my kids at the skate park? And I was like, yes, I do.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah. It's finding those things that like make you feel happy.
And, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And anything to force me into my body.
Yes. Yep. Graceful, too.
Graceful. Talking to people.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried the vegan burrito bowl there?
Not yet.
It is so good.
I can't get past Jose Bowl. How am I supposed to eat other things?
I know, but you have to.
I'll try that.
You have to try it. It's so good.
pinky swear.
Okay. lastly, Em, like, what's next for you?
Ooh. My biggest dream that I currently carry.
Oh my gosh.
Well, yes, it's the same dream I've always carried.
Okay.
But it just still hasn't come through
yet.
I don't
know this dream. What is it?
I want two things. I want to publish a book, and I want to make an animated series. I don't know if that would be like a series on Netflix or but I want to do something about feeling our feelings, because that feelings video was really powerful for me. And I know that it's helpful for us to talk about that stuff. So I'd love to do a series on like guilt. What is guilt?
Yeah.
What do we do with it?
Yeah.
Or shame or whatever. All the things. Fear. Yeah, fear. All the things. Yeah. So I think it would be really fun to do a bunch of short stories or short videos on the things that we feel that we often shut down because they're not pleasant. Yeah.
That's so cool.
So someday that may just come out. Or it won't. I don't know.
It's going to come.
Waiting for the clarity.
And you want to write a book at some point?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Well, thanks, Em, for sharing.
Thank you. This was a delight.
Here. Oh, okay. You need to... What's your Instagram so people can find you?
I'm Laura Emily Illustration. LauraEmily.
Everyone go check it out. It's so cool.
Thank you.
And watch the Feel Something video.
Yeah.
Is that on
the Instagram? I have it in Spanish, too. It's in English and Spanish.
It's so cool. Oh, and lastly, you're a music person, right?
Oh, I love music.
Okay. Okay, so I always ask everyone their favorite song at the moment. Do you have one?
Yeah, I mean...
Or a few?
Yes. But, well, first, I give everyone permission to judge me.
Oh my god.
Because it vacillates between the ever deep Taylor Swift.
Yes! I knew you were going to say it.
And then on, like, Britney Spears. I just I love me some Britney Spears.
Yeah. Wait, what song?
Baby One More Time is my absolute favorite album of all time.
Yes.
It was my first I'm so old, but when it first came out, I was like, I didn't know that I could listen to pop music, and like my mom let me buy this album, and it was like the biggest deal. It was like the first time I ever got to own an album that was like trendy and not Christian.
That's so funny. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah, you have a history.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if I'm like really moody, I listen to Rachmaninoff. So I just need to say that so that people can't totally judge me for my obsessive pop problem.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yes.
What's your favorite Taylor Swift album? Do you have one?
Well, I've been so in resistance mode lately.
Yeah.
Like I've said 1,000 times, I listen to Lover a lot.
That one's really good. Yeah.
I'm like, this is not necessarily an empowering song.
But
but it's totally playing into my damsel desires right now.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you listen to music when you work?
No, I'm terrible about it. Okay. I listen to books when I work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yes.
Like audiobooks and stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
I love audiobooks and podcasts all the time.
Are you reading something right now?
Yes. I've read 3 of the best books of my life.
Wait, this year. You should share those.
Okay. So I read, first of all, Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
Okay.
It is the best book ever read. It was so powerful for me to just talk about doing the things our culture asks us to do, especially as a woman, which for me, it has been really hard because I don't have children. You're married and you don't have kids and you're 36. You're going to run out of time. And then the next book that I started reading was The Making of Biblical Womanhood, which is a historical book about the role of women in the church starting from Jesus's time on. And I didn't know women were so involved in the Bible as leaders and teachers and important. I thought my role as a woman was literally to have babies and be a wife.
Right.
And this book upended all of my thinking.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. It was like God not only, because I'm a feminist, but I was like, but is it biblical?
Right.
And this book has upended that. Whoa. It's like Jesus loves women and empowers them and is an advocate for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the best book I've ever read. And then I read this book called Jesus and John Wayne, which is a history of the rise of Christian militarism and Christian nationalism in the last 50 years. So that was pretty rough. It's pretty tragic.
Wow, yeah.
But I mean, all of it is just like dispelling these lies that I've believed my whole life about who I am and my role. Oh my
gosh, those sound really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I highly recommend.
Oh, thanks, Em, for those recommendations, for being here. So good to talk with you.
This was delightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Em. Okay, to everyone listening, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And remember, there's always a space for you to feel and let others in on your feelings because you are very loved. So I hope you guys have a great rest of your week and see you next time. Bye.